Welcome to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Vlorn. Here he is, our producer and engineer, Stephen the Man, Sheldon.
How are you?
Doing good. How's everything with you? All right?
Glad Lent is over.
Easter
is gone.
Basking in spring.
Basking in the spring.
Loving the spring. Now, let me ask you this, because you work for a big car company, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, here's the story. What's your dream car? Do you have a dream car?
Somebody
asked me this the other day. I don't have one, Sheldon.
I have one, and it's ridiculous.
What is it?
It's a Porsche Cayenne.
I don't know what that is.
That's the Porsche SUV.
Okay.
I said it's ridiculous to have Porsche making a SUV.
SUV, okay.
So that's always been it since
Somebody asked me that. They said, Monsignor, what's your dream car? I don't have a dream car. And I felt like very inadequate. I was like, I don't know.
I know what your dream car
is. What is it?
A Beetle.
Well, funny thing you say that. A light blue Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah, with a soft top.
That's your dream car.
But I mean, it's not fancy, but that would be right up my alley.
It doesn't have to be.
I see them on
fancy.
The road all the time. You know, I love them.
I take a 66 Rambler American.
I don't think I fit in that, though. I have to go check that out. I'm not really sure how that goes anymore. But, you know, it's interesting because I think in all of our lives, you know, we have, I don't know, something we're always desiring, it seems. There's always something we want, and it always involves money, and we never have enough money to do what we need to do. So it's kind of an interesting reality. We're looking at poverty today, but there's different kinds of poverty. You know, there's poverty of spirit. There's, of course, financial poverty in our lives. There's poverty of culture. There's all kinds of things in our life that, and people's lives, that kind of get in the way. But an interesting thing, like if we can find that poverty, in a lot of ways we can find God. And there's something really powerful about that, you know, to be able to see our poverty and celebrate it and even recognize the poverty in other people and see how goes. That's what we're talking about on Religion and Rock today, that gift of poverty. So in a show all about poverty, we're going to start off with Eric Clapton, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out.
That old eagle ring, because nobody knows you when you're down and out. In your pocket, not one penny, and as for friends, you don't have many. Down and out.
true friends stand by us in thick and thin and in good times and bad, in sickness and in health. Have you heard that before? Yeah, sure. And the wedding vows, right? That's really what it's about, is getting through life together in hard times and good times, all of that stuff. And I think, you know, friends do that for us. Of course, our spouses and families are there for us. There's something really beautiful about that. And that's kind of where we get through poverty, right? Because we recognize the power that people have to raise us out of those moments. Sometimes, you know, we're in a very difficult spot. There's a poverty when there's a loss in our family, right? You know, and when we go to the wake of people, I go to a lot of wakes, you know, that makes a big difference in people's lives. Like, you know, you might say to yourself, ah, they'll never even notice if I'm there or not. They notice. As somebody who was on the receiving end of that not too long ago, yeah, you notice. And it makes a big difference that people make the effort to come all this way to say a prayer for you. You know, it's so powerful. So I think that's part of how we help one another. It's like to be there for one another in the bad times, in the tough times, and to kind of do the little things. You know, like, I don't know if people still do this, sending the snail mail card. You know, I still do that sometimes. And there's something really good about that. You know, I have all of these on my desk. As a matter of fact, I have all of these cards, you know, like just a big load of them in a like stand. And I send them out all day long. As soon as I get somebody in my mind, I send one out to somebody. There's something kind of cool about that. And I think that's how we help people through difficult times. So, yeah, when you're down and out, hopefully people will come to you and hold you up and help you to get through the difficult times. There's lots of stories in the Bible where that happened, right? Even like Moses, he's holding up his arms and everybody was winning the war. And then he puts his arms down and they start losing again. What'd they do? People came up and held his arms up for him so they could win. Yeah, that's how we become winners, by holding one another up and helping one another through difficult times. Hey, here's Don Henley. This is called If Dirt Were Dollars.
Standing at attention, wrapped in stars and stripes. non-existent pipes. These days the buck stops nowhere. No one takes the blame. But evil is still evil in anybody's name. If dirt were dollar, if dirt were dollar, if dirt were dollar, we'd all be in the black. If dirt were dollar.
Boy, money is unbelievable, right, in our lives. You know, there's a line, money is the root of all evil. If you think about even what we celebrated on Good Friday, you know, Jesus' betrayal. What was that all about? For 30 pieces of silver, right? Money. It's an amazing thing how money can be such a source of distraction, such a source, ultimately, of evil in our lives, you know? That's why we have to be so careful about it, and we equate money with success. We equate money with not being sad. And yet, as Sheldon was saying to me in the beginning of the show, you know, it is true. In my priesthood, I've gotten to know a lot of people, some who have a great deal of financial wealth, and yet they suffer with the same kind of poverty that you and I do. You know, that poverty that says, boy, it's a difficult life sometimes, you know, getting up early and staying out late working and so much dedication to a family business and how tough that can be. My kids, you know, it's not easy to raise kids, and they don't have the same respect level that I had when I was a kid. You know, all of those things, like those things transcend financial backing. And whether you have millions of dollars in the bank or a couple hundred dollars in the bank, you know, it doesn't matter. I think what matters in the end is that we find what the depth of happiness is about. So it can't be just about the money, you know. We have to try to get beyond that somehow and realize sometimes, too, that, you know, we are where we're supposed to be, you know. And I think that's an important thing, to be able to recognize that, yeah, you know, I'm not supposed to be making $60 million a year. No, I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing right now and using the gifts that God gave me to help make the world a better place. So that's kind of the challenge to all of us, no matter where we are in the social economic strata, to be able to say, embrace it and say, this is good. You know, where I am is okay. Do I wish I made more? Sure. Do I wish I could give more to my family? Sure. Do you wish I could do everything my kids want anytime they want it? Yep. But you know what? That didn't happen in my life when I was a kid, and look how I turned out. And hopefully, with the grace of God, I can do the same thing with my kids. You know, it's about using what we got and recognizing the power of that makes the big difference in the end. Here's Jethro Tull. This is called Aqualung.
Still remember the December's foggy freeze when the ice cancer clings on to your bed to a screaming agony. Hey, and you snatch your rattling last breaths with deep sea dive of sounds, and the flowers bloom like madness in the spring. Sun streaking cold, an old man wandering lonely, taking time the only way he knows. Leg hurting bad as he bends to pick a docket, he goes down to the bog and mourns. Salvation and a mode and a cup of tea. Aqualung, my friend, don't you start away uneasy. You poor old sod, you see it's only me.
Frustration is part of everybody's life as well. And I think that's another part of poverty in our lives, you know, to recognize that, yeah, you know, we all experience poverty, and poverty gives us some frustration because we wish we could be better at what we do, like the other kinds of poverty, not just the financial poverty, you know, the poverty of spirit. Like, you know, the people who just don't enjoy their life, no matter what it is, no matter what's going on, they can't have the same level of fun that we can have. So they're the ones who are sitting down at the Billy Joel concert, you know, with their arms crossed, you know. It's hard to find those. They're there, though. They're those people are there, you know. It's amazing to me. Like, can't you just enjoy the moment? Like, can we just be able to do that? that? Can we let go in such a way that we actually enjoy the moment? And there's something about that that's very freeing. It's one of the reasons, like, I like to go to the Jimmy Buffett concert, you know, because Jimmy Buffett, like, for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, maybe three, you know what? The whole world gets along. Everybody seems to just kind of go with it. Everybody kind of has some fun, and we're not worried about who's sitting in front of us and who's standing up and who's not sitting down and all these things. We just can kind of relax and enjoy, you know? It's a vision for me of what could be. That's kind of recognizing the common poverty and the common wealth that we all share with one another and enjoying the moment, you know? Can we enjoy the moment with our kids? Can we enjoy the moment with our pets? Can we enjoy the moment with our spouses and the people that matter? Can we enjoy the moment with God? You know, it's all kind of tied to God, right? But we recognize the power of that moment and what a difference it makes when we can open ourselves in prayer to God and just say, yeah, you know what? I just want to enjoy this simple moment with you, God. And I just want to be grateful for what you've given me, the gifts that I've received. That's a tremendous ability to kind of recognize that we triumph above the lacks in our life and we recognize just how lucky we are. And here's Boston. This is called Feeling Satisfied. There's Boston feeling satisfied. How does that happen in our lives, you know? Where do you get those moments where you actually feel happy and satisfied for what's going on? Not always easy to do, right? But every now and then we get that glimpse to say, like, you know what? Life is good. And you ever see those shirts that say that exact thing? Life is good. That's a great place to be. Like, when you can get to that point and say, yeah, you know what? Life is good. There's something great about that. I think that's a very spiritual moment, because it's one of those moments where we can say to God, look, you know, it's all yours. I give it all to you and you give it back to me. And there's a great gift there. There's something very powerful about that. You know, that we've been given the gift of life by God. We've been given a handful of gifts. What are we doing to make a difference in this world? That's kind of the question, because hanging on to those gifts and not using them kind of makes other people poor. You know, there's something important about recognizing that. Sometimes also it's about saying no, you know, and saying, yeah, I'm not going to do that because I want to save my gifts for this. So I'm not going to be doing everything. I just want to do these things that can really make a difference. You know, I'll never be able to coach a track team. That's probably all for the best, you know, but I can do other things. And there's ways I can kind of donate my time and make a difference. Giving back helps us to grow. One of the ways we become wealthy is by giving. Isn't that crazy? You know, and that's the truth. Even in fundraising, they say you got to spend money to make money. But the same thing's true about spiritually. Like, if we give, we get. And that's the great gift in our lives that we're called to recognize in everything we do. Hey, here's Genesis. This is called Man on the Corner. Genesis Man on the Corner. I'm Monsignor Jim. You're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about poverty today. Man on the Corner, you know, about the poverty that we recognize in people we pass every day on the street. That's an important thing to be able to see. You know, I was putting gas in my car the other night. It was a Sunday night. And a woman came up to me looking for some money for her and her family, you know. And I said, well, what do you need? I looked at her. I said, what do you need? She goes, what do you mean, what do I need? I said, what do you want to get for your family? She goes, well, I want to get milk and bread and cookies and stuff for my kids, you know. I said, well, why don't we go into the store here at the gas station? I'll buy you whatever you need. And she looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, all right. And we went in there, and we had a little shopping spree in the gas station, you know. And you get a lot of stuff, by the way, in those good gas stations. But there's something good about that, you know. Sometimes giving somebody money, I don't know, there's a lot of things that can happen with money, right? It can be misspent. It can be misused. The Pope just said, though, recently, when somebody asks you for money, give it to them. And that was his recommendation. Said, you really can't sin by giving them the money they need. You know, if you can give them a few bucks, you're going to change maybe today for them and make it a little bit of a better day. In our lives, we kind of have to pick and choose, don't we? Because we don't have money always to be able to give out to people. But sometimes we could do something nice for people. I do that, you know, try to do that every day if I can. But we try to figure out ways in which we can kind of give them, you know, the fish and teach them how to fish so they can eat for a lifetime, right? Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. There's something about that, like teaching people how to fish. That's one of the reasons I want to go shopping with this lady. I said, come on, let's go in there. We'll get some stuff for your kids. That was kind of a nice thing, I think, to kind of experience with this woman, but also to say, nah, don't get that. That doesn't taste so good. I've had that. Get these donuts. They're better. You know, there's something good about that because we recognize the common humanity we share with the people that we bunk into who are needy. They're human beings just like you and me, you know, and they need our help. Hey, here's the Beatles. Baby, You're a Rich Man. Baby, You're a Rich Man. I've been doing this show 28 years. I don't remember us ever playing that one before, Sheldon, from Magical Mystery Tour. But kind of a good song for this theme because, you know, that's part of what we recognize in our lives. You know, the wealth that we have to come to recognize that we do have and to see the goodness that we have in our lives that make us wealthy people. You know, there's kind of something that's pretty cool about that, to recognize the power of what real wealth is all about, you know, to recognize how that is in our life, how we live with the riches that we have, you know, and there's something I think very, very cool about that. You know, like if it's your boat that you absolutely love, are you doing good things with your boat? Like, are you taking people out on it and giving other people fun days, you know? If you're a camper, you know, it's like taking other people out on the camping trip. Like, all of those things matter, I think. And I think the way we treat other people help us to be perceived in one way or another. I remember, like, the richest person I ever knew in my life was my grandfather, because every time I saw him, first of all, he always gave us a couple of bucks. Secondly, the way he lived his life, like, he always had good dinners and nice people and went on vacation and did all of these things. And I didn't realize, like, when I became a priest, he gave me $10,000. It was like the most money I'd ever seen in my life. I bought a new car, and I was driving this car that I got from my grandfather. I mean, this amazing gift that I received from my grandfather. Found out that when he died, he had like $1,000 in the bank, you know, because the way he lived his life, money wasn't important. Family was. And that's how I saw what real wealth is about. You know, you want to be a rich person. I think we look beyond how much is in the bank, but what we do with the resources we have. And that's where we find, you know, we could fool people. They could think we're as wealthy as wealthy could be because of how we live our lives, recognizing that everything's a gift from God. Here's John Mellencamp, Jackie Brown.
Is this your life, Jackie Brown? Fully educated, forced to live on the poor side of town. This is your daughter, Jackie Brown. This pretty little girl in worn-out clothes that have been hand-me-down. This is your wife, Jackie Brown. Sad blue eyes, walking on eggshells, so you don't see her crying. This is your family, Jackie Brown. Dream of vacationing on mountain streets and giving the world more to give you. But ugly truths, it hasn't been very kind to you. This is your life, Jackie Brown. Forevermore,
We've probably all known somebody in our life like Jackie Brown, huh? You know, somebody who's poor, somebody who lived a tough life, somebody who did their best to bring up their family but didn't have the resources that we had. And, you know, those people, I think, serve as a constant reminder to us, don't they? They're a reminder to us that in our lives, you know, we need to reach out to those people. We need to just not walk the other way when we see poverty. When we go to the store and peanut butter is on sale, buy an extra jar and drop it off at the church on the weekend, you know? It helps somebody else out. I know from the church that I live in that every week there's a lot of food that comes in, and every week all that food goes out. It's not like it hangs out. It's not like anybody's opening up their own, you know, shopping grocery store. No. As a matter of fact, all of that food goes out every single week, so we're serving a lot of people in the little ways that we can do that. So maybe when you're out with your kids and say, hey, you know what? That's on sale. Let's get an extra box of cereal. Let's get an extra thing. We'll give it to somebody who needs it at the church when we go on Sunday. It helps connect people to a spirit of giving that changes the life of the Jackie Browns of this world. Here's you two. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. This song always reminds me of a great Broadway play, actually. It's a musical called Pippin. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a great story. It's about a young guy who's trying to find meaning in his life. And he tries all different things. Being a warrior, he tries being a ladies' man, he tries being very popular. He tries all these different things, and he finally comes to the realization that in all of these things, trying to find, you know, what makes him happy in life, it's about love. He sings at the end of the show, if I'm never tied to anyone, I'll never be free. So in other words, to want to be free, you got to be in love. You got to be in union with other people and in union with, you know, a loved one and a family, all of that stuff. What an important thing that is to come to recognize. If we're still looking for meaning in our life, if we're these people who still haven't found what we're looking for, maybe that's what it is. It might be at our own front door and we don't even realize it. You know, the great gifts of life, the great gift of what we've been given by God might right be in that house with you, you know? And there's something powerful about that. To recognize that, celebrate that, thank God for that. To see that, yeah, if we're never tied to anybody, we're never going to be free. So that being tied to somebody is a beautiful gift, because that's the kind of way that we get out of poverty. That's kind of the rope that God lowers to us to lift us out of the hole of poverty, whatever that poverty is in our life, and recognize just how wealthy and lucky we are. Here's The Who. This is called Substitute. In our lives, how things do substitute for one another. Somehow we make up for the lack by seeing other things in our life, by being able to enjoy other things in our life. And there's something really important about that, I think, because in our lives, you know, it doesn't always go the way we plan, right? I mean, none of us could say it goes the way we planned. It didn't go the way I planned in my life. I was going to be a dentist originally. Thank God that didn't happen. So, you know, there's something interesting about the way our lives unfold. You know, they don't unfold always the way we plan, but this is it, you know, and we kind of have to look at the moment that we have and be able to be grateful to God for what we have right now. That's the bottom line, to be able to say, yeah, I didn't plan that. You know, I would have never planned it that way, but other things came into play, and as they came into play, it was a good thing, you know, and it worked out better. And actually, my life is happier now than maybe if it ever was anything else. I look at my life now, myself personally, I got to laugh. Thank God, if I was a dentist, what a terrible thing for the people I served, you know. Much better as a priest, I think. You know, it's interesting how it works. So yeah, in our lives, to be able to be content with where we are, no matter what our role is, you know, and to be able to be grateful to God for who we are right now, you know, to not look to get ahead all the time, not be a climber, not be a hungry person. What a tremendous gift that is, to be able to be satisfied in our own skin. We need to pray for that every day. Ask God to help us to accept ourselves where we are and be grateful for that. Here's Bon Jovi, and it's called Living on a Prayer. No matter who we are, we live on a prayer. And no matter where we are financially, we live on a prayer. And no matter even where we feel in the way of poverty of spirit or poverty in this world, you know, we live on a prayer. We need to pray for the people who are poor in this world. We see tremendous poverty on television every day. You don't have to go far to see that, right? And probably in our own neighborhoods, we can see it too. So we got to pray for the poor and ask the Lord to help us to make a difference with the poor. You know, each and every one of us has a role to play here. And if I think we sit around and sulk about our own poverty, you know, we're going to forget about the poverty of others, which is sometimes much, much worse. So it's about that sensitivity that prayer brings about, and hopefully we can live on that prayer in such a way and find just how lucky we are and how blessed we are as we live a life that reaches out to help those who are in need all around us. You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlaughan, and it's engineered and produced by the wealthiest man I know, Stephen Sheldon. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.